Damashek, Damashek. His best friend is his TV set. Steelers fan since days of old. Instead of red, bleeds black and gold. Look out, it's Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. I like that theme song, an old one from the One Man House Band. Dick Banks, welcome to the show. The Dave Damashek football program, available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck, Sheck, Sheck.
All right, the draft is drawing near and near, but that's the real draft. The all-time draft of 2014 is already in the books. Well, not fully in the books. About halfway done as of the time of this recording. We sat down last week. It was me. It was Daniel Jeremiah. It was Elliot Harrison. A cast of thousands. All in a virtual reality or a alternate reality of Radio City Music Hall. We see same thing as the real draft. 2014, the Houston Texans went first, and of course the second pick, St. Louis Rams, and then the Jags, and so on and so forth. Same order, same draft needs in 2014. The only difference is instead of drafting from the pool of currently available college players, instead all of history, all of man's recorded history is out there. The first overall pick, spoiler alert, was John Elway out of Stanford. And Lawrence Taylor went to the Jags at number 3. Rod Woodson just came off the board to the New York Football Giants at number 12. So on and so forth. It's all available for you at NFL.com. Make sure you take a look at that. And coming up in just a few minutes here, we're going to be talking with an MMA guy. From what I hear, I don't know my MMA, but I hear maybe the greatest MMA guy of all time. That's how he's been described to me, at least. I know he cuts a different figure than most MMA guys do. Those guys, when I see them, they're all real big brute guys. This guy, John Bones Jones, is more sinewy muscle, tall. He reminds me a little bit of Terrell Owens in body type. I met John Bones Jones a couple years ago over at the Kimmel Show. So anyway, we'll catch up with him in front of his big fight this weekend. And in the meantime, let's talk about some pro football action. And by the way, John Bones Jones has not one but two brothers in the NFL. Arthur Jones, now of the Indianapolis Colts, and Chandler Jones, the first-round draft pick a couple years ago. Hard-charging guy, really coming on now in pro football, Chandler Jones, and then their brother, world champion John Bones Jones. We're going to kibitz with him in just a second. All right, now let's say hello to the man seated to my immediate right. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop fella?
Hey, boss, thanks for having me. Who do the Bears take in this all-time draft?
The Bears, I don't want to make a spoil. I don't want to spoil it.
Aren't
for
we up
anyone.
There? Well, we've already talked because the
yeah,
Giants.
Yeah, it's up
the
there
Giant,
right now.
Okay, I'm sorry, I forgot because the Giants had 12. I got confused because
Rod
don't
Woodson. Spoil, right?
No, don't spoil it because I forgot that Rod. I'm thinking that Rod Woodson went to the Steelers, but he went to the Giants.
Yes.
And he was pretty pleased with that. Did you find that to be a slap in the face? That he was so excited to go to the Giants and that he didn't fall to the Steelers.
Well, listen, what happens in a draft, and I'm sure Rod in his heart of hearts knows he would like to be wearing the black and gold, but, you know, he's joined us here in Studio 66.
He seemed pretty pleased to be a member of the Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl championship team.
No. He was in Studio 66 a week or two ago. Yes, black tie. Is that how long it was? Maybe he'll be in with us again this week. I look forward to kibitzing with him any chance we get. But, yeah, he identifies himself as a Steeler now and forever. He understands, and in fact, I said to him, I said, in fact, he made a slip of the tongue.
Right.
He said, yeah, when we played the Giants in the Super Bowl, and I thought, wait a second, you're talking about your year in Baltimore when you won the Super Bowl, and I scolded him for that, and he agreed.
He's
a mercenary. That was mercenary work for the poor people of Baltimore. They needed a pick me up, and so he gave it to him, which I thought was generous. But he still is a Steeler.
And he did say that he wanted to return to the Steelers. The Steelers didn't want him.
That's exactly right.
That's
precisely what he said. So anyway, we'll see what happens. And as for your Bears, I don't want to spoil it too much, but let's just say they address their pass rush even more than they already have. It's exciting. One of the great pass rushers. Mm. And now let's say hello to another man who just walked into Studio 66. His Dolphins are going to be drafting at any time now. Their draft pick's coming up. Here he is, all the way from England, back from vacation, south of the border. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. Very relaxed and refreshed after my holiday.
Yeah?
Yes.
Game of Thrones didn't put you right back on the edge?
No, not really. So far, what are we, two episodes in?
Yes.
Little disappointed with the first two episodes of Game of Thrones.
Right, the second episode that was just this Sunday night, the thing that struck me about
three
it was...
Episodes
it,
in, guys.
Oh,
three
three.
Episodes.
Is it three? Yeah, yep. I thought, yeah.
The last one was, seemed like it took 17 minutes. It seemed like it was over. They went the black in the credits, but as soon as it started, it felt like I wanted more.
It was a takeaway after last season, and it is this time. It's like, let's just have a big war, a battle. There's only really been one fight that I've seen on Game of Thrones. Everything else is kind of tedium.
All right, let's talk about pro football. And to me, the thing that made me laugh this week, two headlines that I saw tweeted out by our pals from NFL.com's Around the League, right in a row. One was Geno Smith considers himself the Jets starter, and Andy Dalton wants to get paid like the face of the franchise.
Right.
This is a subject that we have talked about on and on here. And you know, obviously, along with the superhuman physical skills, the other thing that is seems to be, with very few exceptions, Alfred Morris does not have much of an ego. He seems to be pretty grounded, self-deprecating guy. But almost every other pro athlete, it's not just a football player, to make it in the pros, you have to believe in yourself more than anyone else. You have to think you're the greatest player in the history of sport. And the delusion that Andy Dalton, oh, yeah, I should be paid.
But wait. That may not be about ego at all. I mean, what guy isn't going to say, yeah, I deserve to get paid? That's not.
That's
humankind. If I said to you, Dave, hey, Dave, do you think you earn enough money right now? Do you earn exactly enough money right now? You'd say, no, I'm probably worth a bit more than that.
I think the timing, at least, is inappropriate. I think it's funny that Andy Dalton, coming off of another woeful playoff performance,
right,
and especially bad one, especially, you know, he had a good third season, you know, he put up some nice numbers and everything, and then he plays the Chargers, which is certainly not a world beater defense, in January, and he looked just atrocious. Coming off of that, I just think it would rub me the wrong way. It makes me laugh. Now, I'm not a Bengals fan, but to hear that would annoy me, that he deserves to be paid. What do you deserve? And the other one, like I say, is Geno Smith. The delusion that he should be the starter. Ultimately, you know, who was it last week, Black Tie, that was in here in 66 that said that they expected Geno's going to get the gig?
It was LT.
Damian Thomason.
LaDainian said that it will be Geno. I mean, I just disagree with that. You think ultimately when they get to camp, Idzik, Rex Ryan in particular is fighting for his job still. They extended him by a year, but he needs to win. They can't fall back to 7-9. Do you think they're going to roll the dice with Geno Smith, who was so up and down in his rookie season, versus a guy who's done it? I know Mike Vick's never gotten his team to a Super Bowl, but he's had some big seasons. He's had some big playoff wins. Ultimately, when they sit down to think about who are we going to roll with in 2014, they're going to go Mike Vick over Geno Smith, and I don't think it's even close.
I think LT said it right, though. He said that no one's been handed that starting job. There's going to be an open competition in training camp, and whoever wins, wins. And that's the right way that they should be doing it. That's saying, here's a young guy who we expect to start for us for a while into the future, but we're providing him with competition that he's going to have to beat out right now to get that starting job.
Fine. No, Greg, make a case. Make the case that how Geno Smith wins that gig, barring, of course, I mean, listen, Mike Vick gets hurt in a preseason game, then that is the only asterisk I would put next to it. There's no other way that happens.
Yeah, but Real quick, though, LT did say that he feels like Geno is in pole position to win that job because it seems as though Rex Ryan wants him to. He's given him every opportunity to win that job. But then again, Rex Ryan, you know, hitched his wagon to Mark Sanchez for so long and see what that did to him. So I don't think he's going to give Geno that much leeway if they have Michael Vick ready to go.
And don't you have a better case to go to management if something does go wrong this season and say, look, I'm developing this young quarterback who's coming along. We can't change course now, as opposed to going with Michael Vick. When you go with Michael Vick, you'd be in the same situation that the Raiders are in. And even in some respects, the way the Patriots and the Broncos have just been filling their teams out with veteran guys about, we need to win right now. If he goes with Geno Smith, he's saying, you know what, we want to win right now. We have talent. We have Eric Decker and people like that. And we just added Chris Johnson. Now we got a young quarterback who had his ups and downs last year, but he had no discernible offensive talent around him. Now we've added a couple of pieces. Let's see what he can do. And there were times where Geno Smith went out and was really clutch, would have some fourth quarter comebacks and come back and play really well. And on the other side, when I look at Michael Vick, he lives off the 2011 season way too much, his big breakout season with the Philadelphia Eagles. He hasn't done much recently, and even last year there were a couple of starts where I watched him, and I'm thinking of the Giants game in particular, where he just looked bad. He just didn't look like a good quarterback.
I agree that he has looked crummy, and it didn't have anything to do with injuries, but ultimately I think he's a better option than Geno Smith.
He might be to start with during the season, but what do we know about Michael Vick? A, he's definitely going to get injured, so you don't want to say, hey, Geno, you're number two, and you know, forget about it. You need to have a guy who's going to be ready to come in and start, because he's going to have to do that this season. And Michael Vick is, at best, a two-year option for the Jets.
I agree with
that. They need to make sure that Geno Smith gets ready. So why would you hold his performance back?
I'll tell you why. Because psychologically, this is a kid, Geno Smith. If you put it all on him and, hey, there's a guy, a proven NFL starter in Mike Vick who can be dynamic and is going to – Geno Smith, the same way that you didn't – the 2 years ago, the Mark Sanchez bringing in Tim Tebow experiment failed for the Jets was because Mark Sanchez just couldn't handle the pressure of a guy that is being cheered by the fans every second. Put in Tebow, every Jets fan, the media, everybody wanted to see Tim Tebow. That was too much for Mark Sanchez and his fragile ego. Geno Smith also seems to have a bit of a fragile ego. What do you think it's going to be like for this dynamic performer to be standing on the sidelines when things go awry for him early in the season? Better for his mentality, for his frame of mind going forward. Mike Vick is in there. He's the starter. And we have Geno Smith on the sidelines ready to come in and play savior. So it's better to play savior if you're a kid. If the Jets are 1-2 and they're looking lousy or whatever, and the fourth game starts and Mike Vick throws a couple of bad interceptions in the first half, all of a sudden, at halftime, Rex Ryan walks into the locker room and says, "We're going with you, Geno." When he comes out of the locker room, he's got no pressure on him then. But he's only going to be the hero. It's not his fault that things go awry. It's Mike Vick's fault. That's better for his mental state.
So you're protecting the fragile ego and mental state of a young quarterback by benching him after last season.
I'm not benching him. He started his rookie season.
You're saying year two to help your ego and fragile mental state, which I'm now acknowledging that you have. I'm going to bench you, and then if Michael Vick plays badly, you can come in and play. I'm not sure your psychology major should stand.
And why do we think that Geno Smith has his fragile state? Did he do something last year? I mean, it seems like he's done a lot of the right things. And before I move on,
he says things to me. And again, yes, you're
but
right.
That's the whole thing.
But you're right, handsome. I'm playing pop psychologist. But it does some of his things that Geno said in the past 12 months indicate to me that he is trying to convince himself of something. He says things that are to embolden his own, psyche.
But when he says he assumes that he's going to be the starter, that's a good sign that he wants to be the starter. And by the way, going back to Michael Vick, his breakout season was in 2010. So it's been a long time since he was a real viable starting quarterback. Since that 2010 season, he's had about just as many interceptions as touchdowns, doesn't run as well. He's not that guy. He's fine on the bench, and I would hope that the Jets fans would have a little bit more restraint and realize that, you know what, our best bet long-term is going to be Geno Smith, and they would behave as such, although that's asking a lot maybe.
But the thing is, really, and we're really now sticking with this Jets thing pretty good, but there's a chance that they can make a playoff run in the AFC. It's not as deep as the NFC is. There are a couple of question marks. The Dolphins and Bills both might be good, but then again, they might not be.
Yep.
The Patriots are going to be good. I don't think they're going to catch the Patriots in the AFC East this season, but they could be relevant. They could be a wild card team. And that's considering what they did last year. They had no offensive weapons now, so maybe you're right. Maybe Geno Smith will be good. You know, this is a good standard to apply. Adam Carolla, whose podcast I guest hosted last week, you can dig that one up at adamcarolla.com. His theory is ask opponents what they would less like to see in any situation, and that's your answer.
Yeah.
You're a Dolphins fan, Handsome Hank. Who's scarier? Do you want to play, when the Dolphins play the Jets, is Mike Vick or Geno Smith scarier to you?
Honestly, I wouldn't be scared if I were the Dolphins of either of those two guys. Like, but Geno Smith in the final game of last season played a game against the Miami Dolphins. You remember the Dolphins kind of needed to win those last two games. They lost the week 16 and then week 17. They had a horrible game against Geno Smith, who looked good in that game, having previously in their first
matchup. I remember that day.
Appalling.
Don't bring that day up to me. That day sickens me. That was a dark day.
It sickens me too, Dave.
What, but everybody saw that one coming a mile
away.
The Ravens were going to lose. The Steelers were in the playoffs, and that bum from the KC Chiefs missed the field goal, and the Chargers got to go. And no one liked that.
And rightly so.
Who liked that? No one.
I kind of enjoyed that.
I kind of liked it too.
Nobody. No one enjoyed it.
Everybody loved it.
I thought
the cheating Steelers managed to not make the playoffs. I think justice was done.
Finally.
But in answer to your question, I think you're right. Look, if you want, I'll say what you want to hear, which is that slightly I would be, as a Dolphins fan, more afraid to see Michael Vick in that first game next season. But it's only slight. I'm not, that whole offense is up in the air to me. Like, is Chris Johnson still Chris Johnson? He doesn't worry.
No, but he doesn't have to be. I think I was surprised, though, by the amount of money he ultimately got. I thought he was going to get like $1 million a year based on the other deals for running backs out there. I'm surprised they forked over
Chris
that
Johnson
much.
And Eric Decker, I'm not.
But Chris Johnson had 1,400 yards last year and 10 total touchdowns. Right. He's still an effective player. Then you put him back there with Chris Ivory, as long, because Chris Ivory doesn't have to be an every down back now. And everybody's going running back by committee. It's frustrating for fantasy football.
I guess so.
And plus, by the way, Geno Smith over the last four games, 7 total touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. He did win 3 of those 4 games. The game against Miami, his stats weren't as impressive because they didn't need to be, but he did enough to make them win. I don't know. If I watch those, look at those last four games.
His last four games, suddenly he got better from being very bad.
All right. To finish this, though, to bring it full circle, who would you rank these three? Because I advocated that the Bengals should sign Mike Vick, that would be the perfect guy to put behind Andy Dalton, completely different style quarterback, big arm. And, you know, if Andy Dalton flames out early in the season, then you have the big arm guy who can get it deep to A.J. Green and company. So rank those three. Who do you think's better? Geno Smith, Mike Vick, and Andy Dalton. Do you think that the Bengals would be better off with either of the Jets?
I'd say it goes Dalton, Vick,
Dalton
Geno.
Really?
Look, Dalton has been horrible in those playoff games that we all remember, but Dalton's NFL career, if you look at it, has been fine. It's been middle of the road. It's not exceptional.
Wow.
Exactly.
You're really gushing with praise for him.
But
he's been absolutely adequate.
But have a look at the I think I've talked about this before, but if you're going to replace Andy Dalton, let's make sure you're going to get a guy that's better than him. I don't think Michael Vick's better than him.
Nope.
I'm not sure that there are any quarterbacks in this year's draft that are right now going to be like beat out Andy Dalton in training camp and be fundamentally better than that guy.
Derek Carr. I do think that.
He's your number one quarterback in the draft.
I think he's better than Andy Dalton is.
Do you think anyone else is better than Andy Dalton?
In the draft?
Yes.
I think that they're so ready to make a deep run that I wouldn't want to roll the dice with a guy like Johnny Football.
But you would be with Derek Carr.
I do like the big arm guy, yeah. I like a guy that is protected. I always say, the biggest factor for most QBs, for almost every pro QB, is time in the pocket. If you keep them clean, that's what the Bengals do. He does not see a lot of pass rush, Andy Dalton, and yet he can't get completely over the hump. He's 3 years in now. The clock has now changed. Your window is shorter for a starting quarterback than it was 20 years ago. You have to produce, and he has. He's gotten them to the playoffs 3 straight years.
And he's got some good weapons on that offense as well.
He's loaded.
Yep.
That's the point. Just like Rank always talks about the Rams of the 80s that won through 21, they were loaded, but they couldn't match their at the time division foe, San Francisco 49ers with Joe Montana. They couldn't keep up with them.
Right.
Because of the quarterback position.
Let's play out your scenario.
The Bengals are dynamite, except at quarterback. They're mediocre.
Let's play out your scenario. They draft Derek Carr in the first round. Let's say they get Derek Carr in the first
round. Apparently, he's not going to be an option because the Cardinals are going to take him.
The Titans will take him, apparently, according to Charles Davis, is the first quarterback taken in the draft.
But
let's play it out.
I think the Cardinals should do that.
Let's play it out.
Wait, hold on. I watch a lot of Mountain West football, Derek Carr is not good.
I've watched him only play two games. But I've watched him play two games.
That's enough for Dave.
And he's fantastic.
That's enough for Dave.
All right, well, listen, I don't know, but I watched him play a couple games.
He's the Bengals starting quarterback now after two games.
I love that whip. If you stand him up in the pocket, let him stand in the pocket and sling it, which the Bengals offensive line is good enough to do, he'll be productive with those wide receivers.
He's like Ron Jaworski now. I've only seen him twice, but he's fantastic. By the way, did you not see him in the Las Vegas Bowl?
All right. He had a terrible game.
That was the first terrible game. That's the one thing I would look at that tape and be like, nope, not going to happen.
But so play it out. Okay, you draft Derek Carr.
And you know, does so I scratch that. I've Bengals. Seen him play 2.5 games because I only watched half that game. So
does he start for the Bengals straight away? Does he beat Andy Dalton out in training camp?
You know, as I keep saying, these analysts who say, well, you bring in blank rookie QB, you draft this kid, let him learn at the knee for a year or two and then put
him in.
That
anymore.
Doesn't happen at all. Yes, right. If you draft the guy in the first round, he is your starter.
So Andy Dalton is suddenly sitting there on your team. He's your backup quarterback. You've got Derek Carr, and you've got to give him 8 games to prove himself at least.
Here's my answer.
And then you waste another season
of the Bengals'
window being open.
All right, but my response to that is when you say you want to get paid like the face of the franchise, that equals getting paid $15 to $20 million. Andy Dalton deserves that chunk of the salary
not
cap.
Not this season, but that's why they're not going to give it to him. That's not happening this year.
You're saying is 2014 is the last year of the Andy Dalton era unless he goes deep.
I'm saying 2014 is Andy Dalton's, you know, he's going to make hay or
their
or he's gone.
Strength is their depth, the Bengals. And if you give that a kind of money to Andy Dalton, there goes your depth.
Here's what when I
do that
I
now?
Draft Aaron Murray out of Georgia.
That's not
I have
an option.
Him. Why not?
Because I've talked with the draft analysts like Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis and said, well, how does he project in the NFL? And they say he doesn't really. He's not
going to be a viable starter. He's going to get drafted by someone.
Sure.
Right? So the Bengals draft him in round 3, let's say. He sits there for a year watching Andy Dalton either succeed or fail. And then you may have your guy who's up to speed with the offense, with Hugh Jackson's offense, and then you see what happens.
For the record, my answer, though, to both those things, when you say, like, well, what should Geno Smith and Andy Dalton say about themselves? I don't know. In the same position, my response would be like, I don't know if I'm worth it, but I want it, you know?
Your agent would be so mad.
Your agent would change your mind pretty quickly.
I know. I had some good games. I know I had a lot of bad ones. But hopefully, I'll be better if you give me the starting job again.
But that makes sense though. The Bengals, because a lot of the Seahawks' success came from the fact that they don't have to pay their quarterback
exactly
a lot of money.
Exactly right.
So if you're the Bengals, why not say, yeah, we're gonna have you go through this season at your current salary, and then we're gonna go with the new quarterback next year because. Pretty much any quarterback's winning now. Because
I'm glad you brought that up, Rank, because that's exactly what we're going to address here. It's time for Black Tie to take the reins. Here it is. We haven't done it in a while, everybody. It's the Blacklist.
The Blacklist. Black Tie reads current events. The Blacklist. Damashek and Rank if they're coming. The Blacklist. The Blacklist.
What's going on, guys? I apologize to all the non-Bengals and Geno Smith fans there.
We talked about football.
We had a lot more headlines to get to.
Let's do this. We have the Seahawks to talk about. This is what I want to do. Honestly, let's just put out 32 minutes and we'll spend a minute on every team. That way Black Tie can be, you know what, we talked about every team.
You know what?
As long as those teams are Liverpool, Chelsea, Man U.
Speaking of, we just Man United big news just fired David Moyes, and I'm very happy about that.
What
his season is not a
why,
total.
Why
waste.
Are you only That's... concentrating on Man United?
I'm so
what about
sorry.
Chelsea fans? They don't have anything
Great.
From
now,
this podcast.
All the Arsenal fans just tuned out.
Swindon Town fans have left.
The Bolton Wanderer fans want to be represented on this podcast.
Adam Rank's going deep with his references. All right. First question on the Blacklist was going to be which team has had the best offseason so far, but you guys just delved deep a little bit into some of that.
Did we?
How did we delve into that?
Well, you guys went too long about the Jets and the Bengals.
I'll tell you my answer real quick around the room.
Which team has had the best offseason so far?
Arizona Cardinals, especially if they draft Derek Carr. I love.
Well, that hasn't happened yet.
All right, but even if they don't, I love them getting a left tackle because, like I just said 5 minutes ago, most QBs, and Carson Palmer may as well be the personification of the quarterback I'm thinking of with it, with this sort of thing. He, if you keep him clean, he can be effective. I know there isn't much of a sample size of Carson Palmer in big games, let alone in the playoffs, but I think if he's clean with that collection of receivers now, I think, and with, and more importantly, with that unbelievably loaded defense, they can be gangbusters. They can make a, make the playoffs. And I mean, the only thing that keeps them out of it is if the Rams really, if the Rams get better, which they have a real chance to be, you know, if, what if they get Sammy Watkins? I know all the talk is the left tackle, Greg Robinson, but if they get Sammy Watkins,
but the Brian Schottenheimer is still their offensive
coordinator. I know, but how could that we'll offense not be later. Great? Anyway, the Cardinals are my choice.
I like
because
the
I also like Antonio Cromartie now slotting as the number two cover corner with Honey Badger now back there as well, and one of the best in the game in Patrick Peterson. You're not going to throw on them. You're not going to run on them. What a defense.
Quick tip, if you're a Madden gamer next year, go with the Cardinals because you always want the top corners, and Patrick Peterson, Tony Cromartie, top speed in the game.
I agree with that. I don't like you taking the Cardinals because I always default to the West Coast teams, and I was going to say them because I do. And
you can
also
go with them, but no, how
gonna
about get, your team?
They're going to get a they're going to get a running back in the draft too. If they can get somebody, because they're going to draft him later. If they get somebody like Marion Grice or Tim Cornette, I'm telling you right now, is going to be fantastic.
In the all-time draft of 2014, the Arizona Cardinals might look at a running back. There are a lot of good ones. It's the richest position.
Walter Payton.
They could look at Sweetness, maybe Barry Sanders.
But you realize,
maybe Marshall Faulk, Earl Campbell. There are a lot of good ones.
I'm going to go crazy if you don't go Walter
Red Grange.
Why wouldn't I guess because Matt Forte's there, so you wouldn't want Walter Payton. But then you just should draft him anyways. And by the way, Spice Adams, I just realized, wore number 95. I saw him on my Twitter feed, and I made a joke because I'm like, oh, I loved Richard Dent. And he got mad at me. But anyways, the team with the best offseason, the Bears. Yeah, why not? Peanut Tillman comes back. Jared Allen comes in. Of course, everybody made a big deal when Julius Peppers went to the Green Bay Packers, but Jared Allen comes in, younger, more effective, more sacks last season.
And Houston on the line as well.
Houston's there, and the kid they picked up from Detroit's not bad. So I look at that team. They're already good offensively. They'll go into the draft. They'll take either Aaron
Unfortunately,
Donald.
Unfortunately, they're in the same Clinton division. Dicks. Oh, yeah, they might. Yeah, they're going to get that defense even better. But they're in the division with the Packers, who have already announced, in case you missed it, are going
to
be
your year in a row. Dave says it's going to be the Super Bowl champion.
So what?
You were right once.
Is Aaron Rodgers still their quarterback?
He is.
Then I'm not worried about the Packers at all.
Whoa.
How'd that
great.
Is? What? Great.
Whoa.
That's a great.
Get AJ Hawk on the phone. I want a tattle on, on rank.
Great regular season quarterback, but if you look at his playoff performances, they seem a little Manning-esque.
Is Aaron Rodgers the new Peyton Manning?
Is he the new Peyton Manning?
Someone's going to step into the breach when Peyton retires, and I think we know who it is.
Are you out of your mind?
You guys have already, you know, you've already assumed that he's going to be this awesome quarterback who's going to win multiple Super Bowls, and I've seen no evidence of that. And if they
how about when he went 15-1 and then was great against the Giants?
Was he great against the Giants?
His guys dropped the ball all day. What was he supposed to do about it?
He's not nearly as good as Jay Cutler. Oh, wait, he is. A lot
better.
Got,
you know what? Look at the quarterbacks who've won the Super Bowl recently. Okay?
I know. I agree
with that. Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, Eli Manning.
All better than Jay Cutler.
Who has a quarterback more similar to those guys? Jay Cutler would fall into the class of those guys.
That's going to be a great division. That race is going
to
be wonderful.
Fun to watch.
We didn't get Handsome's answer.
I'm going to say very quickly because we don't need on with the Bears, do we?
No, but can we also say New England? Because a lot of people look at what Denver did, but I like them getting Revis. Like, everybody just has glossed
and
over that.
And Brandon Browner to boot.
You're like, it's crazy.
I like Denver, though. I think they've addressed where they fell apart, obviously, in the last game of last season. They got the pass rusher. They got Aqib Talib. They got T.J. Ward. They're going to get Von Miller back. They're going to get Ryan Clady back. I think that team's going to be stronger than it was.
Here's the thing. Jamie Dukes on NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
Kibitzing with him. He, he played in the NFL. He knows what he's yapping about with this thing. I have said it as well that when it goes for these guys, when the skill goes, it doesn't happen for the most part. It's not a slow decline from great to what happened. They fall off a cliff. And Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are both now in that age range where it absolutely could happen. We might be 2 or 3 weeks into the NFL season and be, wow, Peyton Manning isn't playing well, or Tom Brady doesn't look right. Is he hurt? No, they're old. They're in their late 30s.
I remember
now.
When that happened to Dan Marino. I remember exactly the time where I was like, oh,
yeah,
that's the end of Dan Marino. His neck went and he just that was it.
Tom Brady is everything to the Patriots, right. And now, all right, they've built the team up now. It took a couple or a few years now. He's covered up a lot of warts for the Patriots, but I think they're now officially loaded. I agree, but, you know, Tom Brady, it just doesn't go on forever. He's not going to be the Tom Brady 30 years from now. It could end, and maybe not even in 2014. We might see that decline immediately here. But then we'll see what happens with Ryan Mallett, if he's still on the bench. Not to say they'd ever bench Tom Brady. But anyway, I'm getting into
maybe his psychology, as his psychologist, maybe it would be good for him to come off the bench. I don't know.
Look out if Ryan Mallett goes to the Cardinals, too. All right, go ahead, Dub.
Real quick, I'm just going to go with the Jets being optimistic that Vic does something this year, stays healthy. Eric Decker produces, CJ Secure.
Great call. I think Decker's going to show everybody that he is legit.
The only way that'll happen is if they draft a speedy receiver. Otherwise, Eric Decker is very one-paced offense. They need to get Odell Beckham. They need to get Brandon Cooks. They need to get Marquise Lee. One of those three guys, yes. Otherwise, Eric Decker, your number one receiver?
By the way, Eric Decker had 10 touchdowns when Tim Tebow was the quarterback of the Denver Broncos.
Rank seems to be the only other human being aware of Eric Decker's production before Peyton Manning arrived. Everybody rolls eyes at me when I say Eric Decker is a great... The idea that Emmanuel Sanders just comes in and picks up where Eric Decker left off in that offense is laughable to me, and people roll their eyes at me like, what's so great about Eric Decker? He's 6'3", 6'4", he's got big speed, he's a dynamite red zone target. He makes plays on the ball.
Oh my gosh.
On those jump balls that everybody loves to throw
even when Tim Tebow was there, he had another receiver on the other side of the field. Right now, with New York, it's Eric Decker or bust.
All right.
That's why they have to get that receiver in.
But they do have the speed in Stephen Hill.
But Stephen Hill isn't what he's supposed to be. But if he does become what he's supposed to be, he can definitely. If he's a poor man's Demaryius Thomas, that could work.
But still, Tebow.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, real quick. We did this about 2 months ago. It was the first ever DDFE mock draft. We're going to do it again. Top three, one person making one pick. We're going to start off. Let's start off with Rank. Let Rank go with number one, Hank number two, and Sheck number three.
This is Rank on the clock.
I'm going to go with the – so for the
keep
Houston
in mind,
Texans.
a lot of media outlets now on the what Mike Mayock was saying a month ago about, hey – I believe Khalil Mack is the best prospect in the draft.
That is one of the most
keep that in mind. Go ahead, make your pick.
Misguided things I've ever. I'll tell you right now, Anthony Barr, is going to be a much better pro than Mack. I'm just from watching football, just from watching UCLA play, and I saw Charles Davis's mock draft where he falls all the way down to the Cowboys. First of all, don't let that happen because that would be awful. Anthony Barr is going to be a much better pro, so that would be ridiculous. But again, I've been saying this about Houston all along. Go with the Texas kid. You need a quarterback. Just take Johnny Football. Just if for nothing else, you keep him from going to Jacksonville and becoming a folk hero. If he flames out, so be it. You know what? Things happen. But I'm going to go Johnny Football.
Okay, if I'm taking the Rams, last time around I said this as a caveat, but if I was the Rams, first thing I'd do is try and trade this pick because I think there's enough talent there that you can
not if that happens down. Though. If the Texans take Johnny Football, which they won't, they're gonna take Clowney because
happens, right?
What Rank just said there a bunch, which is. From a PR standpoint, they drafted Mario Williams, and then here's the confusing aspect of it. If you're Rick Smith and you're the Texans, you don't really you had a window there of like, well, this team is good enough to maybe go to the Super Bowl, but now they go 2-14, so now they regress. They're not exactly the newest team in the NFL. They don't have that heat, you know. There's nothing about the Texans that you look at, and as a casual fan, they don't have a lot of heat on them. Johnny Football, of course, would correct that. You know, it's a high school and college football state. Texas is more so than it. Well, and then when you get to the pro level, the Dallas Cowboys are everything. So the Texans are always, you know, kind of in that little brother role. That would change if you put Texas A&M Heisman Trophy winner, exciting guy, Lightning Rod, Johnny Football on the team. But Rick Smith has gone against that before. He didn't take Young, and he took Mario Williamson.
Wasn't
that Casserly,
though?
What's that?
Wasn't that Casserly who passed on Vince Young?
Oh, was it Casserly who did
Casserly
that? You might be right about that. Was that right? Is that Casserly who made that?
Yeah, it wasn't Rick Smith.
Plus, you know what?
I thought it was Casserly.
Think about it, and all the pieces the Texans could put onto that defense, if their quarterback is a rookie who's going to take that rookie salary for four seasons, then you don't have to pay him. You can surround
him. Right. I say McCarron at the top of two. Take A.J. McCarron at the top of two. Take Clowney here.
Dude, Bridgewater might fall to the second round.
That's another, you know, but the point is, no matter who it is, you're exactly right about that. This time around, can they really go with anything other than Jadeveon Clowney? I know from a PR standpoint, Johnny F. would be fun. But Jadeveon Clowney, everybody is saying this is the best player. He's just the supreme athlete. You got to do that because if you don't take him, that's why they won't take Khalil Mack. If they take Mack and then Clowney proves to be the star he's supposed to be, then they'll never live it
down.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's either a quarterback and they address the position that they fundamentally
need
Johnny most,
football.
Or it's Clowney. I think with the Rams at two, I think even more so, if the Texans took Manziel or a quarterback at the top of the draft, I think even more so they see how many of their 31 phones are ringing, and I would probably imagine most of the 31 would be calling, because if I were the Rams and Clowney was there, I would trade down and make the most of the fact that so many teams want to get hold of Clowney. And you really don't, you know, with Chris Long and Bobby Quinn, you don't really need a guy to come and play defensive end for you. You move down four or five spots.
All right.
You can still probably get, if it's not Greg Robinson, you can get Jake Matthews. You can get Mike Evans if it's not Sammy Watkins. The Rams are in the best seat in the house in this draft. I fully believe it. And I think if they don't do something about to trade and get more and more picks in the first round, remember they already have two.
And you're so right, too, that if they traded down to, like, let's say 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there, they could certainly get one of those left tackles.
The left tackle will certainly be there. A receiver, if that's what they want to do, is go Sam Bradford. Here are all the weapons you want. Then one of those two, not Watkins.
Yeah, how far do you think they would fall?
I don't think they want to go much past like six.
Six, because the Falcons would be a perfect situation for them. Clowney stays in the South. Yeah. He wants to play for the Falcons.
Exactly.
That'd be perfect.
That would work out. But because Black Tie's not going to let me trade, I'm taking Sammy Watkins. Because I think if you want to find out about Sam Bradford, I said this last time we did this because I had the Rams pick then. If you want to find out about Sam Bradford, give him the best weapon in the draft. At the end of this year, you'll know whether Sam Bradford's your guy or not.
And then when the coaching staff gets fired and they bring in somebody innovative, then that team's going to be out in 2015 when they're playing at the Rose Bowl.
As we found out about at NFL.com in the all-time draft of 2014, Gus Bradley wants an edge rusher. That's why he took Lawrence Taylor, who looks dynamic coming out of the University of North Carolina. A lot of buzz about this guy's speed in Chapel Hill.
I've never seen Damashek plug so much. He's on fire.
He
today.
Loves this one. And you know what?
It's a passion.
Fans, come and look at this. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good piece of content.
It is pretty good.
It's a passion project. Dave came into my office last March 2013, and said, I've got an idea, and he outlined it for me, and I said, this is terrific, but we don't have time to do it before the draft this year. 13 months later, here it is. Dave's been buzzing about it
ever
since.
The hard work shows up.
It's a great piece of
content.
And the
set's cool,
too. The set's pretty cool.
I can't believe they flew you guys to New York.
I know.
York
it was really neat.
That was awesome.
Going the extra mile to put us in the Radio City Music
Hall. I thought it all looked cool, and to cast all those extras to fill in the background.
Then, I mean, the guy who looks almost exactly like the commissioner to do it.
I wouldn't go as far as saying it's better than draft day, but it's pretty close.
It's close to draft.
It's close.
It's pretty close.
It needs Damn a little
bit more leading role. It's pretty good.
Three. So I have the Jags then, and you know, Anthony Barr would be an option there. You know, again, this is if...
But Clowney's there.
Wait, Clowney's still available to me?
Yes.
Because they took Sammy Watkins. But wait a second. The Rams would take Clowney, though.
No, they would trade down.
I know, but if they don't, if Black Tie, now we're very confused, because if Black Tie's not going to allow you to trade the pick, then you would take Clowney.
No, I wouldn't.
The Rams wouldn't take Clowney?
I don't Clowney. I see Clowney being Andre Bruce.
Ooh.
All right, I don't know why you would possibly think that, but...
Because Clowney, I don't see him being dedicated professional football
who
player.
Cares about
you
it?
Know
I
what
don't
though
listen
the
that,
best thing
I,
the
I
best thing for him
that,
though if you felt but think about it if this scenario played out Johnny Football goes one then the St. Louis Football Club decides you know what we're going to take Sammy Watkins because we need to bump up the defense or excuse me the offense and then you have Clowney fall to number three and he gets into that Warren Sapp territory of him being butthurt for his entire career because two teams passed on him, then Jacksonville gets this motivated guy who can clearly just outclass the competition.
If we're going to have crazy conversations, then how about indulge me on this? If the Rams actually did take Sammy Watkins, and now Jadeveon Clowney is still on the board at number three, Gus Bradley is the former defensive coordinator of the Seahawks. Pete Carroll would pick up the telephone and say, hey, Gus Bradley, you have a lot of holes to fix. How about you trade down, give us Clowney, and we'll give you I don't know what in exchange for
Russell Wilson.
Gus would then laugh and hang up.
I guess he would rather have Jadeveon Clowney than anything Seattle would want to have.
He has a lot of holes, but he needs Jadeveon Clowney.
All right, listen, there's no way Jadeveon Clowney is on the board at number three. I hope he is because it would be
fun.
That's
why this mock is fundamentally flawed because Black Dye won't let us trade.
Well, listen, I don't know if Jadeveon Clowney's there, then of course he's going to go to the Jags. But like I said a couple minutes ago about the Houston Texans needing something to create some buzz, some PR, that goes tenfold for the Jaguars. They feel like this irrelevant franchise as much. I mean, nothing says we want attention more than those uniforms that they brought out in 2013. They're desperate for attention. That's what they sought. It was misguided. And an eyesore to look at, and it would be a shame to look at anybody. I'm sure I've talked to some of these draft guys and the hopeful guys, and I say, are you scared about getting drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and having to wear that ugly new uniform? They laugh, but they know it's true.
They know it's true.
They all like it.
They do not.
Oh, you're so wrong.
I talked to Kevin Price of Washington the other day. He's
one in a thousand.
He didn't like it. Nobody wants that.
All the current players seem to like the Tampa Bay Buccaneer uniforms. They like the Jaguar uniforms. It's the curmudgeons. It's the older people.
I know. I'm a curmudgeon about it. But anyway, so all right, with the third pick, I think they need heat. I'm taking Johnny Football.
He already went to pick
who
one.
Went number one.
You can't pick someone Johnny twice football. In a draft, Dave.
I'm sorry, I forgot. By the way, I'm confused. There's too many non-trades going on. All right, I'll take Clowney. What a ridiculous!
Next time, let's do like 11 through 14 or something. At least you know we'll go.
This
all the
was
way
foolishness. There's no way right out of the gate. The Texans. It would be a boon to the rest of the NFL. Imagine how thrilled they'll be if Jadeveon Clowney's name is not announced. Right. Number one, it's exciting to think about the draft. Just the thought of that. Jacksonville, though, the only thing I want from an entertainment standpoint, and I'm an AFC North guy. And so I'm not rooting for the Browns. Of course, I'm only rooting for the Steelers in that division. And still, I'd like Johnny Football to go to the Browns. It would be so entertaining. And by the way, that would be top to bottom the most interesting division, I think, with maybe the NFC.
But don't you think his thing on the jet ski was him trying out for the Jags?
Yes.
Like, look, we're close to water. This is the kind of stuff I can do.
It's like a politician running for office in Texas. They have to
put on that cowboy hat. Like, they got a Stetson.
I was going to say a shotgun, but either way, you have to do that. Johnny Football is making his case to live in Florida. All right, and it seems like from a personality standpoint, wouldn't that be ideal?
It's got to be. It's got to happen.
Him in Florida somewhere, that seems just about right.
I love the
idea.
All
right. Now, he's on the line. Let's get to him right now. He's got a fight coming up this weekend. It's John Bones Jones. All right. Here we go, everybody. This is exciting. The World Light Heavyweight Championship, UFC 172, coming at you Saturday, April 26th. This weekend, it is the world champion, John Bones Jones, versus the undefeated Glover Teixeira on the phone with us right now. Is Bones Jones. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, not much. Just hanging out. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And how are the nerves right now? What's it like in fight week when you know that at week's end you're going to be punching at somebody who's going to be trying to hit you in the face and in and around the neck area?
In and around the neck area. That's funny. Fight week is fight week. You know, I've been fighting at a really, really high level for 3 years now. I've been a pro athlete since I was 19. So I'm really comfortable with the position. You know, a big part of it is just conquering your nerves and just remaining confident, trusting that you're ready to go, and going out there and carrying it out.
Yeah, you know, obviously we talk to a lot of pro football players, and obviously you talk to them when you're sitting around the Easter table or the Christmas table with your brothers. What do you notice about, you know, everybody, any professional athlete has to have that swagger and that confidence, but do you have an element of fear going in there? Obviously, these guys are trying to hurt you. Glover Teixeira is going to be going out of his way to injure you. Are you scared a little bit?
No, it's not necessarily being scared. I guess there is a little bit of nervousness that goes into it. The best way to sum it up is call it respect. You know, you know that you're going out there against a guy who has been eating healthy, training hard, weightlifting, running, doing sprints, doing everything in his power to hurt you. You know, it could be a little nerve-wracking at times. But the biggest thing is to match him and work so hard that you feel as if you're doing not only what he's doing, but you're doing more, and that you deserve to be that just a second faster and be able to go just a second longer, you know, just hit just an inch harder. And that's the way I feel. You know, I definitely do the extra as a champion, and I feel as if that'll shine through on April 26th.
Well, I have had the opportunity to meet you face-to-face once, and, man, you cut the figure of a professional athlete, that's for sure. T.O., Terrell Owens, is envious of the way you're put together. What about that, though? How come your brother, one is now on the Colts, Chandler is with the Patriots, of course. How is it that you wind up doing this individual sport and they wind up playing football?
You know, the craziest thing was I wasn't much of a football player. Like, I just didn't get it. The plays kind of confused me. It wasn't my passion. I was terrible at all the skill positions. And from the time I can remember, Arthur and Chandler were always the team captain, always starters, always guys who were on the offense and defense. And I could barely, you know, make the starting lineup. I was like third string until my senior year. So I knew that I would have to find my mark a different way, find my mark a different way. And I had a wrestling coach tell me that I needed to put all my A's into wrestling, and that would lead me to a scholarship, which it did. And that scholarship led me to MMA. So I'm glad I chose this path. I honestly think being an individual world champion is way cooler than a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that. Was there any sense of envy, or is there anything that you sort of feel like, yeah, as you say, you're doing an individual deed, so it is all, when John Bones Jones is successful, it's owed to John Bones Jones. Do your brothers say, man, I envy that it's all on your shoulders, or do you envy watching when Arthur gets to hold the Lombardi Trophy a couple of years ago when he's with the Ravens? The putting the belt on is cooler, huh?
Yeah, well, we always go back and forth about which one's cooler. You know, Arthur makes comments like, "Well, anybody can buy a replica belt for $400, but you're not getting a Super Bowl ring for anything under $30,000." And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, well, you won it with your whole team, and I won it all by myself." And so we go back and forth about which one's a cooler accomplishment. But at the end of the day, Arthur gets paid a lot more than I do, so I guess he wins.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's definitely is cooler is having either a Lombardi Trophy or a belt. What do you guys say? What do you and Arthur say to Chandler? He doesn't have
either.
What?
Chandler doesn't have either, but Chandler individually, I think his stats are a lot better than Arthur's right now. So he has that argument. And Chandler was a first-round draft pick where Arthur was a fifth-rounder. So Chandler, he holds his weight when we're trying to trip on him.
Oh, I can imagine the trash talking must be delightful, like I say, at the holiday table. What about, I'm sure you get answer these all the time, but I can't help it. I love, please indulge my nerd questions on this. What happens if you and an in-his-prime Muhammad Ali get in the ring together?
A boxing ring or octagon?
I guess it's two different disciplines, obviously. Let's say boxing, first of all.
If I boxed with Muhammad Ali in his prime, he would knock me out in the first round, I'd say.
Really? Wow.
But yeah, I don't try to pretend to be more than I am. I definitely love boxing. I have great boxing coaches. But, I mean, I'm nowhere near the level of the great Muhammad Ali when it comes to that craft.
Well, then what about these modern day? Obviously, like we say, you're up against two of them. You can size yourself up against Arthur and Chandler. Is there any NFL player you look at and say, man, if he took the next 6 months and really focused himself on MMA training, that guy could be scary?
Man, you know what? Half the guys in the league, with their athleticism, speed, agility, work ethic, I think half the guys in the league would be pretty good martial artist. But the first guy that comes to mind is Arthur, my older brother. You know, where I was a one-time state champion, Arthur was a two-time state champion. And, you know, he was always a winner on that wrestling mat. He would throw guys and make things look so effortless. I know if Arthur made the 265-pound weight class, which is the heaviest you could be in the UFC. Right now, Arthur weighing 300 pounds. So if Arthur was to lose all that weight and get down to 265, just his mentality after that weight cut and just, you know, his quickness and aggression, I mean, I know for a fact he'd be top five in under 2 years.
Is there any superhero that would be fun to get into the MMA ring with?
Any superhero, let's see, maybe Spider-Man. We had Anderson Silva, which is pretty close to Spider-Man. But Peter Parker in the Octagon would be pretty dangerous.
That would be a fun one, because, yeah, it wouldn't be fair. Like, Superman's made out of steel. He's not even human, so that wouldn't be a fair fight. But, I mean, of the human ones, so you could take down probably, you could probably beat Bruce Wayne, but Peter Parker, probably more agile.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as long as Peter Parker doesn't use his web, I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting to see.
Yeah, that wouldn't
be
fair.
If you get him down to the ground and hit him with some jiu-jitsu moves, that'd be the best way of taking him out.
Yeah, no webs allowed. He wouldn't be able to hide the webs anywhere on his body. So, right, listen, John Bones Jones, you're delightful, and I wish you nothing but the best and good health against Glover Teixeira this weekend. Again, like I say, undefeated. Go get him this weekend. Defend your world light heavyweight crown against him again Saturday, April the 26th. Like I say, it's this Saturday. It's 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. You can get it on pay-per-view, and it's UFC 172. Thanks for the time, man.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Day, oh, damn a shack.
All right, good stuff from John Bones Jones.
I didn't want to interrupt you there.
Yes.
But what do you think would happen? I know you talked a little bit about it with him and Muhammad Ali. What about him and Mayweather? I think that would be fun. I would love to see him just say, you know, I'm going to box.
I'm into all that stuff. I wish there was some latitude with that. You know, we've reminisced and pined for things like Battle of the Network Stars and the old ABC show, Superstars, when they pitted the best athletes in pro sports against one another. Maybe that could happen in the 21st century, is we could have some fights between MMA and boxing guys. That would be a boon for both of those sports.
Absolutely.
But people would go crazy for that, because then that would be truly a test of who is the ultimate champion. That would be good stuff. All right, so listen, we'll do a second podcast for you later in this week, maybe with Rod Woodson. We'll see what's going down.
Real quick, though, we said on the last podcast, Josh Gordon headshot autographed.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
get it. Shoot, you know, send us a comment on iTunes. You know, rate the show, and we'll pick the best one on Thursday's show. And if you win, you get
one
Josh
thing
Gordon.
I do have to say is, and we should have led the show with this since it's the 10-year anniversary of Pat Tillman's death. I've said it many times before. I don't want to get up on Mount Pius, but the NFL, there are on the field. There are four number 40s marking the 40-yard line. You know, there are two on each 40-yard line. Why not make it red, white, and blue? Or make it red for the Cardinals or something like that. And let it live there for all of time. Baseball has 42 retired in every stadium. Why not make the number 40 somehow honoring the greatest Patriot in NFL history, or one of, at least, a guy who did what he did in the prime of his career to do that? I think that would be a great tribute, and you just leave it there eternally. I think it would be a, you know, who would argue with that? Who would say, I don't want that on my field? It would be beyond reproach. Yes,
you need to spend more time on the internet, because somebody will find a way to hate that.
Well,
I mean,
probably
it's unfortunate,
true, but just the same, it's the right thing. I
went on a Pat Tillman Twitter dump over the first couple of hours on Tuesday morning, and I lost followers because of it.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of thing happens, but
it is true. You know, it doesn't surprise me, but people hate everything.
Yeah.
There's not something that can be brought up that people will not hate if you go on the internet. Anyway, all right. Thanks, Handsome Hank. Thanks, Rank. And thanks to John Bones Jones. Another podcast coming this week. Meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a Thin Slice of Heaven.